as I bring the reading this morning, I've been praying that as we read it, this is God's living word, and there's something in it for each one of us today. Luke chapter 16, and it's about the shrewd manager. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day, a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order, because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. "And how much do you owe my employer?" he said to the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in larger ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honours is detestable in the sight of God." And that is God's word.
Thank you, Elaine. Okay, what I think you all need to do is stand up, turn to the right, and the person behind somebody, rub the shoulders of the person next to you. Okay, now I want you to turn around to the left and do the person in front of you. Okay, well done. That was just to get yourselves going again. It's hard sitting down for a while. How about we just open in prayer? Father God, we thank you for your word, as Elaine said, is a living word and a word that is to encourage us, to strengthen us, to lift us up, but most importantly, to draw us deeper into you. And so we ask that your spirit will speak this morning, that it'll be him that we hear and not me. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it has been an eventful week trying to get to this place. I've tried preparing the message several times. The computer broke down seven times, or the printer broke down several times, and then I had rewritten it three times. And then yesterday afternoon, I was just ready to give it its final draft, and we had a storm. So the computer died and the internet died. And so by candlelight last night, I was trying to handwrite it, which didn't work very well. And then we had a tree come down over our driveway, so getting out this morning was also a challenge. So all in all, it's been a wonderful week, and I'm just going to be just as surprised to hear what God has to say as you are. So we'll trust him in this one. Okay, so we started the message this morning, or the reading, with Jesus telling a story to the disciples. There was once a very rich man who hired a manager to run his business and to oversee his wealth. But this is such an unusual story for Jesus to talk about. This isn't what the disciples were expecting. What has it got to do with me? They probably thought, we've got no money. Who's this really relating to? A dishonest manager? Cheating to feather his own bed? What is the meaning of this? At first glance, the story seems really clear. I mean, not just that of the shrewd manager, but what Jesus says afterwards. Because he's saying, it's important that you use your wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then when this world fails and falls apart, your generosity will provide you with eternal reward. In other words, just as the shrewd manager used what he had, his abilities, his giftings, to feather his nest and to look after himself and his future, Jesus is saying, take what you have learned, take what you have been given, and use it to make people friends of God. And you will receive a reward. Now, that's pretty clear, really. The whole thing was really clear, wasn't it? Right? No? I thought I could stop there. All right. We'll get clarity as we jump to verse 14. It says, now the Jewish religious leaders who were listening to Jesus were lovers of money. They laughed at what he said and mocked his teachings. Have you ever noticed that when people feel uncomfortable when faced with something that is a bit too close to the bone, they tend to deflect from themselves with ridicule, laughter, and anger? What were they trying to deflect from them? After all, everything Jesus said was completely in alignment with the Torah. The first commandment that they had received was, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have any gods before me. But their God was what? Money. And then again in Deuteronomy 6:5, Moses is instructing the people of Israel with God's most important command. He says, listen, Israel. The Lord your God is the only true God, so love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And in verse 6 it says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, or you shall put them in your heart. Jesus wasn't saying anything new to them. These men were scholars of the law. They knew what it said. They knew what they were supposed to do. No wonder they laughed and mocked Jesus. This was getting very close to the bone. They knew they were out of line, and nowhere in Scripture did it say that God told them to amass wealth for themselves or use their position to lord it over people and put them into bondage by the illegitimate use of their authority. The reality is that many, though certainly not all, of the leaders had already broken many of the commandments. They honoured money above God. They honoured themselves above the people. They stole from the people. They placed heavy burdens on the people. They did not take care of the poor. or teach about the abundance of God's grace? And apparently, according to verse 17 in our reading this morning, which you didn't hear, but you can read later, they were also guilty of adultery. Not too far into the future, they would add murdering God to their list. So in our teaching today, Jesus was actually holding up a mirror for the Pharisees. It wasn't the disciples. And as he did that, he was also speaking a warning into our lives directly, into the disciples, to understand. Jesus said, "You always want to look spiritual in the eyes of others, but you have forgotten the eyes of God, which see what is inside you." Did you hear it? "But you have forgotten the eyes of God, which see what is inside you." We belong to a God who sees us. He's not remote. He sees us. He knows us. Every hair on our head, he sees us. To be known that you are seen by the living God is a great gift, but also something that you would be afraid of if you weren't where you needed to be with God. God is not saying if we use our money to help people, we will be in his good books. He is not saying that if we spend all that we have on the poor, that we will be rewarded. There are many people who don't know God who do amazing, incredible acts of kindness in our world. People who pour out generously to the needs of others. It isn't about the money. It isn't about doing good works. It's about who is or what is in your heart. It is about who or what you worship. It is about who you are and whose you are. In Colossians 23 to 24, it says, "Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. For you know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord, as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed, for God pays no attention to the titles or prestige of men. It's what's in the heart, the way that we serve, that matters. As Christians, we understand that God calls us to do things not just for him, but with him in his spirit. We are called to love the Lord our God with all our hearts as we serve and love with him the people we meet and the situations that he leads us into. So what was Jesus talking about? Why was he talking about how much they did or didn't have? Hang on. This is where I'm getting lost because this is really interesting paperwork here. So why would he have taught the disciples about the wealth when mostly they didn't have any? Because it's about how much they did or it wasn't about how much they did or didn't have, but the faithfulness and the integrity with which they spent their lives to express friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. What does it mean to spend our lives for Christ? Well, if you have money to spend and you want something, you give that out and you get something in return, don't you? When we spend our lives for Christ, we are giving away what he has given us already, not for the purpose of gaining something ourselves, but so that they will gain more from God. Does that make sense? What we give to others enables them to come closer to God. Let me give you an example. Mother Teresa spent her life on loving Jesus, in caring for the most destitute and the poor, the sick, Saint Francis of Assisi, spent his life on loving Jesus and caring for the poor. Martin Luther King spent his life on loving those in slavery and oppression, winning freedom and equality for the Afro-Americans. My friend Lainey, who some of you know, spent her life in caring for her son, Jeremy, who had multiple issues to deal with. Alison and Greg spend their lives in loving Jesus and the children that they foster. Elaine has spent and continues to spend her life loving Jesus in those she ministers to. As do Trent and Fiona in their perspective areas, as do many people here when they spend their lives to draw people closer to God. That's what I mean by spending our lives. Do you grasp what I'm saying? It's not about the amount of money we do or don't have. It's all about the state of our hearts before God and how we live out our lives for Him. Jesus says, "It is impossible for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You will be forced to love one and reject the other. One master will be despised and the other will have your loyal devotion. It is no different with God and the wealth of this world. You must enthusiastically love one and definitively reject the other." So simply put, you either serve the worldly riches and power and self, or you serve the one true living God. You have a choice. We all have a choice. This morning you came because you love God. And when you leave, it will hopefully be because you love God and you want to love Jesus in the people that you meet wherever you are. But sometimes it's hard to remember that that's really what the center of our lives is about. It's about loving God. It's not about the other things we do. It's about how we are spending our lives each day for the purpose of bringing people closer to God and bringing joy to His heart. But sometimes we walk out the door and that's it for the week. Sometimes we forget that the Spirit is so present and so wanting to reach to us and to reach, use us to reach others. We miss the golden opportunities, the golden moments that He gives us. He loves us so much. I can't even begin to emphasize that love to you. I can't tell you how much He loves us, but He loves others too. Now, I'm not really good at loving people. I'll be really honest. I'm really not. I have this selfish streak in me, but I also have this deep desire to see people know God as I've been allowed to know Him. And so I need the Spirit to help me do that. I need the Spirit to be at work in my life, in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. And for the Spirit to do that, I need to be sitting in His presence. I need to know He is there. I need to take that time, that quietness, to be able to let Him do that. And we often don't do that. You know, we never have silence in church. But we need it. Not just as individuals, but the corporate body of Christ. We need to be silent so He can speak to us as a body, not just as individuals. And so this morning, that's what I want us to do. I'd like us to take a couple of minutes of silence and not to be afraid of the silence, but let God speak through the silence, let His Spirit speak to our hearts through the silence. We need that together. If you haven't been in touch with the Spirit for a long time, now is a good time to do that. He's here. He knows you. He wants to be present to you. So let's just take 3 minutes of silence and let the Spirit come. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love.